To the town of our free rode a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say. No one dared to ask his business, no one dared to make a slip. The stranger there among them had a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
Good morning, sweet, beautiful Texas. That's the legendary Marty Robbins kicking things off for us on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show, presented by Hoff Power Polaris and Chevy Silverado. I'm your host, Cable Smith, and man, oh man, we've got a great show lined up for you today. Real quick, though, I want to thank each one of you who voted on our Facebook page for which song you thought should open the show this week. And with everything that's going on in our country right now concerning gun control, the overwhelming favorite was this tune, Big Iron, by Marty Robbins. So good job, folks, as we are entering a period of uncertainty as this fork-tongued tyrant continues to force his liberal policy on the law-abiding citizens in our country. So let your voices be heard. Back the NRA. Write your representatives. We need to take action right now and take our country back, folks. That's the bottom line. Apathy is no excuse. And you know what? We will get into all of this in great detail next week with State Representative Steve Toth. But I guess before I get too riled up, let's go ahead and talk about what's on this week's show, because it is going to be a good one. We're going to talk bucks and ducks. That's it. Two things that myself and many of you are extremely passionate about. So pour yourself another cup of coffee out of that old thermos and pull up that stool just a little bit closer to the campfire here, as it is going to be a good one. Many of y'all from all over the state have voiced concern through phone calls and emails that you didn't see near the number of whitetails this season that you usually do. Is it due to drought, increased predator numbers, disease, or is it something else? To be honest with you, I don't have the answers, but I know who does. Our Texas Parks and Wildlife Whitetail Program Leader, Alan Kane, has his finger squarely on the pulse of our state's whitetail deer. He'll answer all of y'all's questions here momentarily, and we'll even devote two full segments to the subject. So hopefully Alan can talk some of y'all back away from the ledge, but we'll get into that here momentarily. Then we'll talk duck calls, decoy spreads, and late season calling tips with the Quack Shack's Scott Keith. The Quack Shack makes, in my opinion, the best duck calls out there. They are Texas owned and operated. And they also have a new duck hunting show on Sportsman's Channel that caters specifically to the Texas waterfowler. So pretty exciting stuff there. You know, sadly, the Texas waterfowl season comes to a close next weekend. That's right. So get out there as much as possible this next week, because it'll be over before we know it. That is for sure. Couple other things to mention here. Don't forget about our photo of the year contest. Our 12 monthly winners from 2012 are actually displayed on the website at LoneStarOutdoorsShow.com right now. You can vote for your favorite photo. The 2012 grand prize winner will accompany me on a spring turkey exotic buck combo hunt down at Coons Canyon Ranch in Rock Springs, Texas. So pretty cool prize there. Our 2013 contest is also underway. We've got a great prize this month, a $75 Cabela's gift card and a copy of Stephen Ranella's new book, Meat Eater. So all you have to do, email me your favorite outdoor photos to cable@LoneStarOutdoorsShow.com. Also, don't forget, all of our shows are saved as podcasts right there on our website. They're also available for free on iTunes, so check us out there as well. Let's knock out a quick break. When we come back, we'll answer all of your whitetail questions. Where did the deer go? We'll find out when we're joined by Texas Parks and Wildlife Whitetail Program Leader, Alan Kane. You're listening to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show. And I've been learning how to lose a thing I never laid a hand on all along. Well, good Lord, glory, I love you, could it go more wrong? Howdy, outdoors fans. Michael Kerr, View Internet Manager at Graff Chevrolet. We're proud to be the official dealership of the Lone Star Radio Show. We have a large selection of new Chevys starting at just $12,999. Lowest overhead means lowest price in North Texas. We'll beat any price on a new Chevy guaranteed.
Drive a little, save a lot. Shipments are cheaper in Grand Prairie. Call 800-560-3518 or shop online 24/7 at GraffChevrolet.com. Graff Chevrolet, serving Texas outdoors fans since 1952. Chevy runs deep.
The Smithco Ranch is a small, high-fenced hunting facility catering to the discriminating white-tailed deer hunter. Located in Eastland County, just 80 miles west of Fort Worth, the ranch has a Level 3 managed lands deer permit and offers bow or rifle hunting from October through February. The Smithco Ranch has packages for guided trophy and management hunts and discounts for parent-child combo hunts. All hunts include lodging, gourmet meals, beverages, and care of your game. It's an excellent option to leasing. Google the Smithco Ranch, that's spelled Smith K-O Ranch, or call owner Brad Smith at 817-480-8089 today.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is DFW's number one source for trailers. In addition to utility trailers, we have the largest selection of cargos anywhere. CM Cargos, Wells Cargos, Hallmark, Cargo Craft, and Pace. You want it, we got it. Come and get it. Call 972-501-0200 or go to BigTexDFW.com. That's Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn.
Did you know there's a bank that will pay you to be its customer? That's right. Lone Star Ag Credit is a cooperative, and since it's owned by its stockholders, pays millions in dividends each year. That's free money to every borrower. Lone Star Ag Credit serves people all over Northeast Texas, assuring you competitive interest rates on real estate loans, rural home loans, livestock and farm and ranch loans. Contact Lone Star Ag Credit today at 800-530-1252 or on the web at LoneStarAgCredit.com. Equal housing lender.
Hey y'all, Cable Smith here for Tioga Retrievers. As bird hunters, we expect the most out of our gun dogs. And that's why I sent my sweet girl Belle to Angie and Tim Becker at Tioga Retrievers. Not only were her manners and obedience spot on in the blind and in the field, but Belle picked up over 200 birds in her first season. So whether you want a well-rounded hunting dog or just a well-mannered companion for the home, Tioga Retrievers has you covered. Located in Aubrey, Texas, visit TiogaRetrievers.com. That's T-I-O-G-A Retrievers.com.
Coons Canyon Ranch in Rock Springs, Texas specializes in exotics such as axis deer and black buck. Coons Canyon offers quality animals at a price the working man can afford. Right now, save 10% on any package of multiple animals. Military personnel, police, and firefighters also get 10% off. Lodging is available upon request, as are other exotic species. Visit CoonsCanyonRanch.com for your next exotic trophy hunt. That's CoonsCanyonRanch.com.
Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road, and that's just what you'd expect from your truck, the Chevy Silverado. From worksite to home front, dependability, based on longevity, 1981 through July 2012, full-size pickup registrations.
Hi, this is Casey Kiefer from Drops Project Alaska, and thanks a lot for listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Cable Smith welcoming everybody back to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris and Chevy Silverado. Little coup de grace there for you on a Texas morning. And today we are talking bucks and ducks and all that implies. So glad you could join us. Real quick, I want to remind you to get to Cabela's, the world's foremost outfitter, to experience legendary selection and service. Let expert outfitters show you all the newest hunting, fishing, and camping gear, as well as the best in authentic outdoor apparel and footwear at tough-to-beat prices. And get free shipping when you shop online and ship your order to one of Cabela's three great Texas locations. Cabela's, world's foremost outfitter. Well, moving right along here, let's go ahead and talk some whitetails, as I've recently received quite a few emails from concerned listeners from many different regions of the state who say that they flat aren't seeing the deer numbers that they're used to seeing. So here to provide some insight as to what's going on with our Texas whitetail herd and even break it down region by region, it's my pleasure to welcome back an old friend of the show, our Texas Parks and Wildlife whitetail program leader, Alan Kane. Thanks for dropping in.
Glad to be here, Cable.
Well, we are certainly thrilled to have you. And, you know, Alan, for most Texans, the whitetail season is over, except for in South Texas and those who are hunting under the MLD late season. But overall, it looks like a bunch of nice bucks were killed this year. And across the board, antler production was significantly better than last year.
Yes. our biologists that have been collecting age, weight, and antler data in the locker plants this year have seen quite a few good quality bucks come in, and in speaking with some of the biologists and district leaders around the state, they've seen antler quality up compared to last year. But that's easy to do when we had a tremendous drought in 2011 and really impacted antler quality. And this year we've had good rainfall and then a lot of acorns out there, a lot of mass crop, and so the deer head took advantage of those nutritional resources and helped boost the antler quality this year. In fact, I just heard a report. I hadn't been able to see a photograph, but one of our biologists up in North Texas, I think they just scored a deer that scored like 256 or 250, somewhere in there, that was taken into Grayson County up there.
Oh, yeah. That's I believe that's the Taylor buck.
It's a, and that's a free-range, low-fence deer. So tremendous bucks out there.
Uh-huh. And, of course, you've also got the A.J. Downs buck. I believe that one netted over 253 inches and will become the new Texas state record non-typical archery buck of all time. And that was harvested in San Jacinto County this season as well. So lots of good bucks being taken. But, you know, I've got to tell you that I've received countless emails from concerned listeners who say they've never seen so few deer. And, you know, I directed you to that popular thread on TexasBowhunter.com where people were expressing their concern. So let's start with the obvious question. Did the record drought of 2011 cause a major deer die-off or a massive drop in fawn production?
In 2011, we had low fawn crops. That was indisputable across the state. We had lots of the ecoregions, kind of where we look at the regional surveys that we conduct, down in the 20% or teens, you know, somewhere in there. So pretty low fawn crops, with the exception of maybe a few areas like Cross Timbers, which is that kind of North Texas area. I think they had a 41% fawn crop last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so they weren't quite as affected by the drought. But for the general part, most of Texas was impacted by droughts. So we had low fawn crops. Did it have an impact on the deer population, the adult population? We don't have any evidence through our surveys or even working with the private landowners that we, 25 million acres under management plan. We didn't see any areas that had just significant die-offs or declines. Was there a few deer in older age class or just throughout the age class of the deer population that died? I'm sure. There were some areas that are probably localized, so maybe a ranch or two or three ranches or smaller places where there might have been a few localized declines in the population, but not any major die-offs. One thing this year that is that hunters, I've heard the same complaints, harvest is down, and I think we're seeing that in a lot of areas, except South Texas appears to be average. Hill Country, I think their average harvest this year, we've had some reports from locker plants in San Antonio and around that the harvest has been good, and they're seeing lots of deer coming in to those locker plants.
Somebody's blown up your office phone there in the background.
But I do want to point out, Cable, that there's been a tremendous acorn crop, like we talked about, the antler quality.
Mm-hmm.
That's also affected hunters' abilities to see deer coming into stands this year. If deer don't have to move to go find something to eat, then obviously they're not going to be out there in the hunter sites or traveling where hunters may have their deer blinds or wherever they're hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to limit that opportunity to see those animals. And I think that's a pretty common sentiment across the state. I'm just trying to remember, recall, I believe the district leader in East Texas, Gary Calkins, he was talking about over there, which, on that the little bow hunter thread that you
mm-hmm.
sent out to me, and I was looking at some of the comments, it was interesting to note that over there in East Texas, they had one of the best acorn crops he's ever seen in many, many years. And the point that the acorns are still out there on the ground right now, and they're good enough quality, they hadn't rotted, they hadn't got sour, and so the deer are still eating on those. And with that kind of acorn crop, you're just not going to see as much movement out there in those areas, which obviously makes it difficult for hunters. And it's tough, if you're a hunter and you've been sitting in the same blind and kind of the same pattern year after year, deer get wise to those sorts of things. And so it does, you know, it affects deer movements, obviously, when and hunters are out in the field every fall, but also the acorns and the abundant food supply out there, deer just don't have to move.
And I just want to reiterate on something that you mentioned there, Alan. And, you know, a lot of folks have been on the same lease for 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, maybe even more seasons. And they sit in the same blind season after season after season with the same feeder in the same location. And I think this might actually be a bigger factor than a lot of people want to admit. Those deer aren't stupid. Just like we try to pattern the deer, they pattern us. And they're going to go to a different part of the property. Maybe they'll go to the neighbor's property, or at the very least, they'll become nocturnal.
And I get lots of calls from hunters every year and just landowners, and they'll say the same thing. And, you know, deer are wise animals, and I can't stress that enough. And sometimes we as hunters, and myself included, we want to blame it on drought, or we want to blame it on coyotes. You know, we didn't see any deer this year, or very few. When in reality, if you stick out cameras or something, you'll see deer moving at night because they change behaviors. Or, and I can just use examples where a few ranches I work with still in South Texas where, you know, the guys have been hunting, like you said, 8 or 10 years in the same area, same blinds, or they harvest a lot of does out of certain areas. In the recent years, they've seen fewer deer in those areas to harvest, but yet when we do the helicopter surveys, the population remains stable out there, and so the deer change their behavior. And so, you know, I would just encourage hunters and to change it up a little bit, you know, instead of just sitting in that typical box blind that we all use or like to hunt in, try a tree stand or get off on a trail somewhere and don't use a feeder. Maybe have your feeder, you know, that you have active and don't hunt it, but hunt, you know, 100 yards away from it on a trail that's coming to it where those deer may be bedded up. You know, like you always see on those TV shows, the guys up in the Midwest are looking for bedding areas or traditional spots, and they're going to set up and ambush the deer along those corridors and places like that. So that's an opportunity for our hunters to change up what they're doing. So, mm-hmm. But it's not to say, and I don't, you know, it was interesting on that thread you had there. There was a number of hunters that said this was a terrible year, didn't see many deer. But at the same time, there was another group of folks on there that said, hey, this is one of the best antler quality years we've had. This is the best year as far as seeing the number of deer. And I think something else that we all forget about sometimes is that in good years or in bad years, deer, you know, they're going to come to your feeder. They're looking for something to eat. In good years, there's plenty of food out there. But more importantly is if you don't manage your place for quality habitat, deer may not be there in bad or good years. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to keep them there unless they're just traveling through. And you may get lucky and catch a buck during the rut that's moving way outside his kind of core home range, and he's out looking for does. And, yeah, you get lucky. But and so think of all the places as you drive around the state and all the hunters out there as you drive around, how many places are converted to hay fields nowadays and how many places are, you know, clear cut or the brush has been thinned out so dramatically that there's not as good a habitat to attract and hold those deer there. And I remember about 10 years ago when I was over here in Wilson County as a biologist working with a landowner, and he bought 400 acres and we, you know, and he up front, you know, said, look, you're going to have deer that they're on your place part of the time, but they're spending lots of time on your neighbors. You know, you got small acreage landowners out there. And so if you want to make them spend more time here on your place, and you got to make it like the Ritz-Carlton.
Right.
You know, food plots, if you're going to protein feed, if you want to do that, if you need to prescribe burning, habitat improvements, disking, planting some native grasses out there for fawning cover and everything else, you know, all these sorts of things. And he did that. And over the time, you could see his deer numbers starting to increase. And his, I remember his neighbors around there complaining because all the deer were staying on his place most of the time, and he was pulling them out of their fields and stuff. And so it's always good to remember that if you can do a little bit, or you and a group of your neighbors and landowners can do a little bit habitat-wise, you're more likely to retain those deer, you know, have them stay in that area because the habitat's just better quality.
Very interesting stuff, Alan. Unfortunately, we've got to knock out a quick break, but there's still some other things I want to ask you about, specifically what regions of the state could have been hit a little bit harder than others as far as a deer die-off is concerned, and also predator hunting, and I'm talking about coyotes. I hunt them religiously. I shoot everyone I see. There are a lot of folks out there just like me, but are we making a real difference on smaller properties of, you know, say, 1,000 acres or less? I want to get into all that. Can you stick around for another segment?
Sure. That'll be a great topic.
Perfect. We'll be right back with more from our Texas Parks and Wildlife Whitetail Program Leader, Alan Kane, as we wrap up the 2012-2013 Texas deer season only on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show.
There's no fortune at the end of the road that has no end. There's no returning to the spoils once you spoil the thought of them. There's no falling back to sleep once you wake from the dream. Now I'm resting.
Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road, and that's just what you'd expect from your truck, the Chevy Silverado. From worksite to home front, dependability, based on longevity, 1981 through July 2012, full-size pickup registrations.
BioBore EB is the premier gasoline additive that combats the negative effects ethanol has on an engine. Its comprehensive formula is designed to protect marine engines and marine environments, yet also works great in all 2- and 4-stroke engines. It prevents phase separation and ethanol-related engine problems while stabilizing fuel for 18 months. BioBore's detergents also clean the entire fuel system of carbon and varnishes. BioBore EB has the best treat rate in the industry. 1 ounce treats an amazing 15 gallons of gas. Available at your local sporting goods store or visit BioBore.com today.
Cinnamon Creek Ranch is not your typical archery club. It's a one-of-a-kind archery facility with indoor and outdoor ranges, a full pro shop, and 6 different 3D courses. Cinnamon Creek was designed by hunters for hunters, located on 80 acres in Roanoke, Texas, and offering over 200 3D targets to shoot at. This one-of-a-kind event facility was designed with the bow hunter in mind. Call 817-439-8998 or visit us at CinnamonCreekRanch.com. That's CinnamonCreekRanch.com.
Howdy folks, I'm Lee Hoffbauer for Hoffbauer's Outdoor Superstore in Gulfway, Texas. We hope you love listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show, because we do, and we're proud to be a title sponsor. Now listen up, we here at Hoffbauer Outdoor Superstore have got some great deals for you folks that love the great outdoors. Whether you're needing a brand new Polaris ATV or maybe a Polaris Ranger to ride around, check your deer feeders, get to and from the deer blind, maybe to get you down to the dove patch, whatever your needs are, we can fix you up with a brand new Polaris today. Now we're also a New Holland tractor and equipment dealer. Now I'm just speculating, but maybe you need a new tractor and shredder to shred around your deer blinds, maybe clean up around deer camp, or maybe even shred a few lanes in the old sunflower patch. Now, we've got lots more than just Polaris and New Holland, so come check us out today, Hoffbauer's Outdoor Superstore in Gulfway, Texas. You can check us out on the web at hpolaris.com. Better yet, just come see us. Highway 84 West in Gulfway, Texas, and in Central Texas for over 48 years now. And folks, we couldn't have stuck around this long. We were steering you wrong.
This is David Faherty, and thanks for listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
I saw a man and he was looking for a fight. Well, he came right on over, knocked my beer down to the floor, and I said, hey, man, I don't want any trouble. I'm going to head on to the door. Well, he grabbed my shirt and picked me up, and he threw an evil right. But I ducked and grabbed an empty bottle and swung with all my
That's the music of the Kyle Bennett Band, bringing us back on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Hoffbauer Polaris and Chevy Silverado. I'm your host, Cable Smith. Thank you so much for tuning in and sharing a part of your weekend with me as we are talking whitetails today with our TPWD Whitetail Program Leader, Alan Kane. And before we pick it back up with Alan, this segment proudly brought to you by Rudy's Barbecue. Stop in for breakfast, lunch, or dinner at one of their convenient Metroplex locations and enjoy Rudy's true Texas-style barbecue. Well, without further delay, what do y'all say we jump back into it with Alan Kane and talk some more whitetails here? And Alan, like I was saying before the commercial break, I received countless emails from concerned whitetail hunters this season, and the general consensus of those emails was that folks weren't seeing the number of whitetails that they were accustomed to. Now, there was a common thread in those emails, and that is that most of them were from deer hunters from the area of Abilene, out west towards Ballinger, and even farther west from that. So, you know, that west central part of the state But was there a significant deer die-off in that region, or do you think that whitetail simply moved on to find new water sources after the drought of 2011?
Yes, that could be a possibility. I mean, that can be some pretty dry country out there. It's big country, but there's lots of windmills and stock tanks, and if it did go dry in some of that country, the deer may vacate. Although, I will say that, you know, deer get a lot of their water through the food they eat, but as dry as it was and as dry as the vegetation was, they were probably looking for better quality places, and so they might have concentrated along some drainages or areas where you just had a little bit more moisture in the plants out there, or you had some surface water. And so, sure, and I would expect deer to filter back out in those areas, over this year. But and I'm not going to say that some of those areas, and again, I want to reiterate, it's not across the whole, you know, it's not from Fort Worth to Abilene or San Angelo, not that whole area, but within localized pockets, there was probably some population declines. You know, the habitat might not have been in good shape anyway. You had no water, and you probably had some deer die in those areas. Although I do know some folks that hunt over there around Shackleford in that area, and their deer numbers appear to be stable. It's just they didn't see much. And the comment I got was that we got rain. You know, it was slow beginning as far as opening weekend, and that's the next weekend or two into hunting season. But then it just got slower, and they started seeing some green weeds, a lot more moisture, and so the deer just weren't moving to feeders as much. And if it's been dry, and even though there's some corn out there, but there's a lot of green weeds and they hadn't seen that in a while, you know, I might, if I was a deer, I imagine I might be over there munching on that green stuff
right
up the corn feeder.
Well, I mean, that makes perfect sense. And Alan, let me bring up another point here. Do you think that in some of these regions of concern that maybe they were overpopulated to begin with, and now, after the drought of 2011, maybe those places are closer to their normal carrying capacity. But, you know, to the whitetail hunter, that might seem like a significant die-off.
Sure, and that's definitely happened. You know, we see some smaller localized areas in the hill country. We've, you know, traditionally a deer to 4 to 8, 10 acres, somewhere like that, and then it's dropped the deer to 18 or 20 acres, and whether it's drought or hunting or a combination of both or whatever. But, you know, when it's a little bit lower density, there's better habitat, that's probably what it should be supporting, and I think that's the case in some areas too. And we all like to see lots of deer. If I'm sitting in a deer blind, I want to see as many as, you know, can coming through there. But that hunters and landowners need to realize, too, that sometimes that may be unhealthy, not only for the deer herd itself, but also the habitat that supports them. And so, you know, if the numbers drop, and instead of seeing 10 at a feeder every time you sit out, you only see 3 or 4, that might not be a bad thing. And again, if you're not sure about deer densities or deer population, I'd call the local biologist, the local parks and wildlife biologist, and just get an idea of what their estimates are, what they think that the general deer density ought to be for your particular area. And they can give you an idea to help you or a landowner or a hunter out there judge whether their population is really under or too low or if it's too high.
Yes, sir. Texas Parks and Wildlife, a very valuable resource available to any landowner or leaseholder. I just got to call that local biologist like you mentioned. Hey, another thing that I want to talk about is coyotes. Obviously, they are more prevalent today than they ever have been in North America. Same as white-tailed deer, really. But if you don't believe that a couple coyotes can take down a mature white-tailed buck, then you are sorely mistaken. I've seen them do it on numerous videos. But what I want to ask you is, does predator control on, say, a small lease or ranch of less than 1,000 acres, does that really have much of an impact on your overall whitetail herd or fawn recruitment?
That's a good question. Quite frankly, I'll leave that up to the individual landowner. If they think that's...
Alan, I'm not going to let you off the hook that easy, brother. You got to answer the tough questions. If you see a coyote while you're deer hunting, are you shooting it?
It depends on the situation. The problem you run into, Cable, and for anybody out there, is that unless you're doing predator management on a large-scale area. Because if I'm, and we'll take areas, say, around Bastrop or Grange or Colorado County, well, you got a lot of deer anyway, but in, say, an area like that where the landowner size is 200 or 300, 400 acres on average, if I'm the only one doing predator control on my 400 acres, I'm not solving any problems because the coyotes are coming in from your neighbors, and, you know, they've got a big home range, you know, several square miles. And also, they got territories. They're territorial-type animals. They got packs, you know. And so one theory is that if you shoot all the coyotes or remove those from a particular area, then you may have an artificial increase right quick because you've got other coyotes from surrounding, you know, that little territory there coming in, vying for that, trying to take it over or establish within those areas. And so there's potential to have at least initial increase until that the coyote population stabilizes in that area, or there's enough coyotes to form a little territory there and then kind of help distribute everything. If I was having, I would put it this way though, if I was having problems with low fawn crops, and I was concerned that, okay, my habitat's in pretty good shape, maybe I can do a little bit more to improve it, but I really want to get some fawns on the ground, then I might do a little bit of coyote trapping or shooting or predator control. You know, I'd probably start in March or April, sometime around then, or at least in April, right before, a month or two before fawns are hitting the ground, to reduce that coyote population, hopefully for several months, and continue in the summer until those fawns are up big enough that they can get away. But keep in mind, unless everybody's doing it over a fairly large scale area, you probably don't have much of an impact. And so typically I don't recommend that.
Okay.
And unless people are looking for a concerted effort and you've got a goal in mind. Now, that's one, because you got to keep in mind that when people talk about hunting coyotes or shooting coyotes for a management practice, well, how many are you killing, 2 or 3 years? Is it just for you and your buddies to go out or take a kid out there predator hunting? I think that's great. You know, get out there in the field, enjoy those hunting opportunities. But if you're looking at it truly from a management perspective, you need to get your neighbors involved, especially on small acreage places. And I would say you need to affect 4, 5, 10,000 acres if you really want to make a big difference and try to see some changes in fawn crops and things like that. But also keep in mind, if you take the predators out, coyotes, you knock them down, your deer population skyrockets, then you got to kill more deer,
right. Does
and bucks, which some hunters, that may be great. But in most cases, we've got a pretty liberal bag limit in most counties in the state, and people don't harvest what they can anyway on what's available on their license tag. So you got to ask yourself, do I really need more deer out there, and is it really going to help things? So,
sure.
And I have other landowners that will harvest coyotes from the standpoint that they're not worried about particularly increasing fawn crops or population control, but if they figure they can knock the coyotes down enough where they're not maybe taking so many bucks out there, then that landowner gets to make the decision on which buck is removed from his herd through harvest, rather than the coyote being indiscriminate, whether it's a big trophy, you know, type buck or something that somebody might consider a management type deer. So it's not just a cut and dried answer. I think it depends on your goals and what you want to do for that particular ranch and how big an area you can affect.
And Alan, I would advise, and don't get me wrong, I mean, I'm absolutely eaten up with predator hunting. I've got a Burnham Brothers CompuCaller 3. I love hunting coyotes, but if you're really serious about making a difference, you'll have a lot bigger impact if you get out there and set some snares and do some trapping.
Yes, I think that's probably a better option. And, you know, there's the wildlife services out there through USDA APHIS. I'm sure they've got some guidelines on the internet, and there's plenty of resources out there. I think there's a Texas Trappers Association or something along those lines that would probably have some resources. But snares would probably be good. You just have to keep in mind you may catch a bunch of indiscriminate animals you weren't targeting. But in general, I think most people can set up snares to target coyotes.
Well, Alan, great stuff as always, my friend. Real quick, how was your whitetail season? Were you able to get out there and harvest a buck this year?
I did not get harvest a buck this year. I've killed a doe and spent more time taking my wife and my son out and let them harvest a few whitetails. But I did get to go to Wyoming this year, and I shot a tremendous mule deer. So
oh, wow.
I'm in good shape. He had a 29-inch outside spread and 27.68 inside spread. So,
well, congratulations on a heck of a trophy.
Yes, I was. It's just fun being up there. That was new country for me, and enjoyed seeing all the scenery and stuff. And but we've still got a little bit of season left in South Texas and the MLD season, so I may get a chance to get out there somewhere. But I'm just happy our hunters had a. I think most everybody had a good season, even though it was a little slow. I think the antler quality was good, and from what I'm hearing, everybody seems to be pretty happy.
Well, Alan, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for your time today. I really do love talking whitetails with you. Let's do it again sometime this spring once y'all have all of your harvest data and all of your survey information compiled.
Yeah, hopefully the next time we talk, not only can I have our survey data from this fall finished and analyzed and be able to give you all an idea if the population truly did decline dramatically, which we don't think it did. There's too many indicators the other way, but also the harvest data that we'll have coming in and give you an idea on quality, too.
Hey, that sounds like a great plan. Thanks again, Alan. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Cable. Y'all have a great day.
So there he goes, our Texas Parks and Wildlife Whitetail Program Leader, Alan Cain. Hopefully that answered some of y'all's questions. Let's go ahead and knock out a quick break. When we come back, we're talking late season duck hunting, as there's only 1 week left in the Texas waterfowl season. We'll be joined by Scott Keith, owner of Quack Shack Duck Calls, and also the host of the new hit show, Quack Shack Television, on Sportsman's Channel. Scott will join us. We'll talk some late season duck hunting tips, as far as calling and decoy spreads are concerned. That's coming up only on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show.
Like kisses go with back roads, like blue goes with sky, like church goes with Sunday, and picnics with July, we go together. Like coffee and cold weather.
Baskins, your Western and workwear headquarters, has all of the latest in Western clothing. Come on in to find the hottest styles of jeans, boots, hats, and belts from your favorite Western brands. Be sure to check out our great lineup of Wrangler fashions. Baskins is a Wrangler PRCA dealer with a full selection of your favorite Wrangler jeans and shirts. Also, check out Baskins' selection of workwear and flame-resistant clothing. Go to Baskins.com for all locations and store information, and check us out on Facebook for monthly contests. Baskins, Western and workwear.
Holmes Williams with Texas Insurance and Financial Services is a passionate outdoorsman, and that's why he understands the importance of limiting your risk, sheltering your game, and protecting your assets. So whether you want to protect your hunting range, sporting club, or are a guide or outfitter, Texas Insurance and Financial Services has you covered. Property, general liability, workers' comp, auto, even foreign recovery and emergency medical for that African safari. Call Holmes Williams with Texas Insurance and Financial Services at 512-797-7600 or email him at holmes@txins.com.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is DFW's number one source for trailers. In addition to utility trailers, we have the largest selection of cargos anywhere. CM Cargos, Wells Cargos, Hallmark, Cargo Craft, and Pace. You want it, we got it. Come and get it. Call 972-501-0200 or go to BigTexDFW.com. That's Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn.
Cable Smith here for Magnolite, a Texas-based lighting company that's been outfitting the United States military since the 1960s. Over the past decade, Magnolite has continued to support our troops, but now they have over 200 lights ideal for your hunting and fishing needs, like the 35-watt HID camouflage Go Light Striker with handheld remote. That's 15 million candle power in the palm of your hand, ideal for predator and hog hunting. They also have remote-controlled floodlights, feeder lights, and LED boat lights. So go Texan and go Magnolite. Check them out at www.magnolite.com for all your outdoor lighting needs. If you're in the market for a firearm, you need to know about STI International. Based out of Georgetown, Texas, they're 100% employee-owned and offer the best warranty and customer service in the business. STI is renowned worldwide for exceptional fit and function. The patented 2011 high-capacity system proved so successful in shooting competitions that over 80% of competitors used STI guns or pistols built on STI frames at the USPSA National Championships. To see their full line of premier pistols, visit STIguns.com or check them out on Facebook at STI Firearms. STI, the continuing evolution of the 1911.
Hi, I'm Craig Boddington. I'd like to invite you to become a member of Dallas Safari Club, one of the world's leading hunting and conservation organizations. As a member, you'll receive Game Trails Magazine, a monthly newsletter, and invitations to our monthly meetings and special activities. Join Dallas Safari Club, an international organization based in Dallas, supporting hunting and conservation worldwide. For more information, call 800-9-GO-HUNT or visit our website at www.biggame.org.
This is Dale Hall, CEO of Ducks Unlimited, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Our good buddy Justin Bowerman bringing us back on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris and Chevy Silverado. Duck Blinds, the name of that tune, and couldn't be more appropriate as we're about to talk late season ducks here. But first, this segment proudly brought to you by STI Guns, based out of Georgetown, Texas. They've been manufacturing some of the world's premier pistols for almost three decades now. They've got a full lineup of handguns. You can check them out at stiguns.com. Do what I did for your next handgun purchase. And go, Texan. Go, STI. Well, I am pleased to say that our next guest has arrived. He is here in studio with us this morning to talk late season ducks. It's a pleasure to welcome the Quack Shack's Scott Keith to the show. Thanks for dropping by, man.
No problem at all, brother.
Well, it certainly is a pleasure, and man, it's the bottom of the ninth. I tell you what, there's only 1 week left in the Texas waterfowl season. So with the finish line in sight, you know, how has this one been for the Quack Shack crew?
This year's been a very, very solid year. I don't think it's been our best year we've ever had, but it's coming awfully close. Couple of things. You know, this year we had a record number of ducks as far as being hatched. The Midwest was under a drought. Most of the crops up there got plowed up. We've had a little bit of a drought down here, which you would think if you've got water in Texas under those circumstances, it would just be a phenomenal year. Right. But it's been different. And I think there's been a couple of things that have been involved in that. Number one, we haven't had the cold weather that we've had in the past years. And I talked to a lot of people up in the Dakotas and Montana, and all of the mallards are still sitting up there. So we haven't had the huge, massive numbers that I anticipated. The other thing is, with the advent of our TV show, we've got cameras filming us, which means we can't shoot at legal shooting light like we have been in the past. So that's probably cut the amount, the duck numbers we've killed down about probably 15%, because we're not shooting right when it's legal shooting time.
Right, and we'll get into the new TV show here in just a second, but real quick, I think I remember hearing about one of the HD cameras getting shot this season.
Very unfortunate incident. We had two wood ducks on episode two come screaming down the deck. Cameron and Tim took out the first one. The second drake came buzzing right by me. It kind of flipped on its back. And if you know a wood duck, it's kind of blackish purple on the back. So when it flipped on its with its back to me, it blended in right back behind the camera when I decided to pull the trigger and disintegrated the camera. Nothing was left. Nothing was left. I got more emails and Facebook and messages on that. Everybody loved it.
Hey, us waterfowlers, we're a crazy breed, man. And there is no limit as to what we will do to kill a duck. But hey, before we get into the TV show, talk a little bit about your background. I mean, how did you get into the call-making business?
I got into it because I really wasn't happy with any duck call I found. I would get one duck call, and there was something about it that I liked, but a couple of things I didn't like. And I'd buy another duck call, and there was something about it I liked, and a couple of things I didn't like. So what I did was, one day, I started fiddling around, and I put all the pieces of all the duck calls I've ever blown together into one duck call to make a call that's easy to use, that's raspy, that really gives that mallard hen sound, but that the average weekend warrior could pick up and blow and sound good on, as well as the competitive caller. So much in duck calling today is you know, there's a lot of snobbery with a lot of duck call companies. They either make real high-end, real hard-to-blow calls, or they make real cheap China calls, you know. And I wanted a good call the average guy could pick up and blow, be proud of, acrylic, Coca-Cola, and could pick it up and sound like they've been blowing on that call all year long. And that was really the impetus of starting it. And it's just really taken off. Every time we sell a call, whoever buys it, five of his or her friends wind up buying, you know, ordering a call too, because it's so easy to use. Guys who have never blown a duck call can pick it up in about 15 minutes of proper training, man. They're sounding great on it. So that was kind of the start of it. There's a lot of different factors. You know, I felt the people in Arkansas had a presence, Louisiana had a presence, but for a state as big as Texas and as much ducks as we kill in Texas, we really didn't get our fair share of recognition, mm-hmm. and we didn't have a voice. So once the calls started taking off and people started buying them and loving them, people started realizing, hey, maybe those boys down in Texas got something here. And it was a very organic flow to how this thing developed.
So what kind of separates y'all from the competition is it's a high-end call, but it's extremely user-friendly.
Yeah, and what we did on the our Outlaw and our Coca-Cola calls is I shortened the barrel length of the call on it to where the tone board sits very close to where you blow, vibrate into the call. And by doing that, it requires minimal air pressure to use the call. So, you know, there's some calls out there that have the longer barrels. I won't mention any company's names. And, you know, by the time you're done calling, you feel like you've hacked up a lung, you know, trying to move air through this. This requires minimal airflow, produces soft quacks, and can get up there. You can really stand on it and get your hail calls out of it as well, too, and high balls.
Awesome. And I'm going to get you to blow a call here in just a little bit, but let's go ahead and talk about the TV show. You mentioned the Texas, you know, we kill a lot of ducks in Texas, but like you said, we didn't have a presence as far as a call manufacturer goes. Well, we don't have a presence as far as a waterfowl TV show goes either. Now we do. How did this come about? I mean, from making duck calls to now y'all have a show that just premiered on Sportsman's Channel.
You know, there's so many different factors that go into this. Being born in Fort Worth, I love Texas. I'm a Texan at heart. And Texas produces just so many wonderful things when you think about it. Willie Nelson, ZZ Top. You know, you think of these iconic kind of Texas deals. And, you know, Texas kind of, the duck hunters of Texas have never really had any thing to identify with, to be a part of, to look at and say, you know what, you know, that's us. That's what we do here in Texas as far as waterfowling go. And Arkansas has their shows and their duck call manufacturers, and Louisiana has theirs. But, you know, there was a void in the marketplace. Well, one of my hunting partners, Tim Dancliffe, owns a company called Safari Classics Productions, and they produce television shows for the Outdoor Channel and Sportsman's Channel. Well, me and Tim had hunted for several years, and several of his big sponsors of all of his other hunting shows had come down and duck hunted with us. And every time guys would come down, I'd give them one of my calls. And, you know, there was just such camaraderie in the blind between me, Tim, and Cameron, and everybody just loved these duck calls. At the end of the hunt, everybody would always say, you guys needed to do a television show on this. And, you know, a light bulb went off with Tim, me, and we sat down and just said, you know what, let's do this. There's nothing on TV that the Texas waterfowler can watch and identify with. And so we put it in production. We got all of the sponsors lined up. We were very proud. We had some of the biggest in the industry line up behind us. And we started filming and producing this thing. And it has really been overwhelming. The response that we got back and are still getting back, I'm getting, you know, 20, 30, 40 emails post a day about how much they like the show. And what they like about it is it's a genuine feel. guys send me messages and say, you know what, I feel like I'm in the duck blind with you. They send me messages. You guys remind me of me and my buddies in our duck blind. And that's what we wanted, because so many of these TV shows are have a lot of prima donnas on the show.
Right.
They're all attitudinal. They feel like, you know, waterfowl, and you got to grind it out, you know, and it's always got to be a grind and tough and hard. Well, you know what? It doesn't have to be hard. You know, you and your buddies can have your blinds built before the season and go out there and have frat talk and guy talk in the duck blind and hang out and rib each other and just see what kind of crazy stuff happens in the blind. And that's kind of what we did. You know, I've gotten feedback already from the Sportsman's Channel that have just said it's just constant, the flow of emails going into the Sportsman's Channel about how much everybody loves the show. They're not threatened by the show. You know, we're not shoving products down their throat every single second of the show. It's just a bunch of friends having fun, and people can really relate to that. And that's, I've been real proud of that. And I hope the Texas waterfowler, when they watch the show, can be proud of the fact that, hey, you know what? Those boys are from Texas, and that duck call, that's a Texas call, and that's what we want to support.
Very cool. Well, yeah, I mean, if you just go look at our website, you'll see a litany of our sponsors that are based out of Texas. We are all about going Texan, that is for sure. Scott, we do have to take a quick break, though, but I'd like for you to stick around if you can, because I want to talk late-season duck calling, how you change up your technique, also late-season decoy spreads. What do the ducks want to see? Are you cool to hang out for a few more minutes?
Absolutely, no problem.
All right, y'all don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more from the Quack Shacks. Scott Keith, you're listening to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show. Another Friday night in this old patch town. Keep the beers out of sight when the state troopers come around.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Spagnuolo from TexasMotorCars.com. I'm here today to tell you about the best place in Texas to shop for your next vehicle. TexasMotorCars.com is a family-owned and operated business located in Addison, Texas. We have a huge inventory of pre-owned vehicles and specialize in trucks and SUVs. Please visit TexasMotorCars.com today. Come see me, Brian Spagnuolo. Our phone number is 972-481-1660.
Cable Smith here with my good buddy Craig Smith, owner and founder of Game Guard. And Craig, I guess the question everybody wants to know is, what inspired you to create that signature Game Guard camouflage pattern?
I had a friend of mine that challenged me to come up with a better pattern. I didn't like the patterns that fit, you know, Southwest Texas. So he said, you know, if you don't like it, do something about it. And that's really kind of where it started. I really wanted to get the colors correct, because to me it's all about, you know, blending in and having the right tones at that time of the year. And so I just sat down and started drawing this pattern out, and it took me about a year to get it the way I wanted it and get the colors the way I wanted it. And, you know, the rest is kind of history, as they say.
Hey, Craig, we appreciate it. Made by the Texas Deer Hunter for the Texas Deer Hunter. Be sure to check out their full line of outdoor apparel at GameGuard.net. We all need a friend in the gun business, and that's why you should check out B&S Guns. Family-owned and operated since 1987, we offer a lifetime warranty on all firearm purchases. At B&S, we have a gunsmith on staff at all times, and our 5,000-square-foot building contains all your hunting and firearm needs. Open 7 days a week, we specialize in Nikon, Leopold, Browning, Remington, Swarovski, Benelli, Zeiss, and many more. Conveniently located in Garland, call 972-226-1816 or visit bsgunstore.com. That's bsgunstore.com. All right, listen up, all you Texas outdoorsmen and women. SDS Outdoors is a top-tier manufacturer and distributor of high-quality, feature-rich, luxury outdoor products. Their product lines include luxury deer blinds, deer blind windows, gun range towers, bow fishing boats, and a whole lot more. Call SDS Outdoors at 214-551-1530 or check them out online at www.sdsoutdoors.com. Chevy Silverado has been recognized by Vincentric for lowest total cost of ownership of any full-sized pickup. Based on factors like depreciation, fuel, and maintenance, visit your local Chevy dealer to find out why the Silverado is a smart choice. Based on Vincentric US 2012 model level analysis.
Hey everybody, this is Brandon Ryder, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
remember that night it rained out the football game. That night we parted with the girls from Fort Worth till the police came. You know we knew we'd probably never see any of those girls.
That's our good friend Brandon Ryder bringing us back on the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris and the all-new Chevy Silverado. I'm your host, Cable Smith, and we are talking late-season ducks with custom call maker Scott Keith of the Quack Shack. He's also the host of the new Quack Shack Duck Hunting Show on Sportsman's Channel. We'll jump back into it with Scott here momentarily, but real quick, this segment proudly brought to you by Dallas Safari Club, one of my favorite organizations, a true leader in big game conservation. To get involved or to find out more about Dallas Safari Club, visit biggame.org. Well, Scott, thanks for sticking around. You know, before the break, you mentioned how important it was for you to give back to the Texas waterfowler. You know, give them a sense of pride because we do have such a rich duck hunting tradition in the Lone Star State. And thanks to you guys, we've got a television show to hang our hat on. So have all the hunts been filmed right here in Texas?
We haven't done anything out of state. Everything we film is, we have our little stretch of water that we call Rattlesnake Bayou. It's about 300 acres of flooded timber down off the Trinity River, private land just southeast of Dallas. And that's where we probably do 80% of our filming. We also have pro staff outfitters here in Texas that we hunt with. You'll see several episodes where we hunt with Ducks or Us up near Bonham, Texas, and have some really fun hunts. And that produced several good shows that we had up there. And we've got Muddy Water Outfitters, for example, up near Wichita Falls. We try to focus on supporting Texas. And, you know, we get people from all over the country wanting to be pro staff members and pro staff outfitters and all that kind of stuff. And what we've done initially is we've kept everything in Texas. And, you know, we want to, you know, like we were talking about ZZ Top, we want to be known as that little old duck call from Texas. I mean, that's kind of what we want to do. We're proud of the Lone Star State. We're proud of the duck hunting we have here. And we want everybody else in the country to know that Texas is a destination to come duck hunt.
Awesome. Well, we're both certainly glad we don't live anywhere else. That's for sure. Scott, you know, you were telling me off the air something I thought was interesting about the quick turnaround time as far as production is concerned. The hunts that we're seeing were actually filmed this season. That's drastically different than most deer hunting shows where what you're watching, you know, you're seeing last year's buck being shot.
Yeah, this being our first season, the Sportsman's Channel came to us with a very interesting proposition on doing this five-episode Quack Shack television series. So we got everything finalized with the Sportsman's Channel in, I'm guessing it was around September, August, September, which left very little time. So fortunately, the television production company, Safari Classics Productions, is located in Dallas. We hunt, you know, 15 minutes outside of Dallas. So it made it very easy for us to film, edit, produce everything in a very short time frame. That's not to say it wasn't difficult, but once the first show came together, it really started clicking. And our cameraman, who's amazing, Tyler Hill, is also one of the editors of the show. And then Cameron Kinzer, who you see hunting with us, he's also one of the editors with Tyler. So it really helps them knowing hunting. They can sit there, they can see what happens throughout the course of a hunt, a couple of hunts, and in their mind picture what that episode needs to look like. So that's really created the fast turnaround time.
Very cool. Well, let's switch it up and talk late season ducks. Like we said, you know, we've got one week left. Ducks have gotten decoy shy. They've gotten a little bit call shy. A lot of them have already paired off. And, you know, you're looking a lot of times at smaller groups of ducks now. How do you change up your calling technique? For example, say you have a late season group of greenheads that have circled your decoys once or twice. They're interested, but what do you do to get them to fully commit, cup those wings, drop that landing gear, and put down in your spread?
one of the things we do is late season downsize everything. So at the beginning of the year where maybe we had out, you know, 3-4 dozen decoys, late season we may only throw out a dozen decoys. Mm-hmm. The other thing we change up too as we get into late season is we get rid of the mojos. Those ducks have been blasted over those mojos for, you know, several months now. So the last thing you want is to spook them with your mojo. We found it is helps to have a water motion, one of the ducks that spins in a circle, things like that to create a ripple. That doesn't spook them as much as the mojo. The thing we do on our calling is we downsize that as well too. There's no more the crazy, you know, high ball and get their attention. If the ducks fly by, we hit them with real soft hail calls, and we try to just to do the lonesome hen quack. Mm-hmm. And you know, on that, the lonesome hen is the most deadly duck call there is. Most guys want to pick up a duck call and do feed chuckles and high balls and all that. But the simple quack is by far the most deadly call you can make. And you simply make it by saying the word vwit, vwit into your duck call. So you just... mallard hen makes that sound 80% of the time. So if that's what ducks are used to hearing most of the time, it's the call that's least likely to spook ducks in the air. So if you sit there, you downsize your decoy spread, get rid of your mojo, have a little water mechanical out there to keep the water stirred, and just that lonesome hen. Quack, quack, quack. That's the deadliest combination you can put together in late season.
All right. And as far as decoy spreads, which, by the way, I know that you guys use G&H decoys just like we do. And you know, I was telling you about my hunt yesterday. Obviously we downsized, we had about a dozen decoys. I threw out, I believe, 3 gadwall, 4 widgeon, 3 mallards, and I think a couple teal right there in the middle of the two small groups of ducks that I'd set out. What about you? What does your decoy spread consist of during the late season?
Yeah, big fan of G&H. I think they have the best paint on any decoy that's out there. Plus, they're the last manufacturer that's still made in America, which I like. I like what you said about the widgeon and the mallards. That's all we use in our decoy spread. I like the mallards because they're magnum size, they're big, and they really show up when the ducks are high in the air. What I love about those widgeon is the white paint on the widgeon head stands out, and those ducks can see that widgeon head from long distances against that black water. Mm-hmm. So I always recommend to people, if you're only going to have one or two species, preferably you want at least two species in your duck spread, have mallards and widgeons. And it doesn't matter if it's early season, teal season, late season, whatever. Those are the only two species we really use in our spread because of that. You want those widgeon because that white head shows up. You want those those Susies, mallard Susies, because they're big, they're dark, they show up. Gadwall's another great one to have in there. I know some guys, I know one hunter, very good hunter of mine, who does nothing but hunt over coot decoys.
Really?
Yeah. He uses black coot decoys because they show up so well. Uh-huh. I've got another buddy who hunts at the coast who has rigged anchors onto red Coke cans, and he puts out red Coke cans, and that's what he shoots redheads with.
Wow.
Because that red shows up on the water, and those redheads are so dumb, they come, they decoy into those Coke cans. So, you know, there's no set rules on anything, but in my mind, I always like mallards and widgeons in my decoy spread.
Awesome. Well, Scott, I know that the Quack Shack Duck Show premiered on Sportsman's Channel on January 5th. What's y'all's regular airtime?
We're on Tuesdays at noon. We're on Friday mornings at 5:30. And then we're on primetime airing is Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. They do that waterfowl block on Saturday afternoons when all the duck hunters are getting back from their duck camps and blinds and everything. So we're right there in the heart of it. Saturdays at 2:30 Central Time. We'll be on there through sometime in February to finish out the waterfowl season. You'll see a longer series next year with us. It'll probably be an 8 to 10 episode Quack Shack television series with the Sportsman's Channel next year. Sponsors, you know, when we first started this thing, we were contacting sponsors. The great news now is the show has been so successful. Sportsman's Channel has gotten such great feedback that we've got sponsors calling us now, which makes life a lot easier. But, you know, we kind of view it as a higher calling. We want to help put Texas on the map when it comes to waterfowling, and we're off to a good start.
Pretty cool stuff, man. Well, we certainly appreciate your time today. I see that you've brought a couple outlaws, y'all's number one call, with you today. One for me, which I can't wait to use in the duck blind tomorrow morning, and then also one for our Photo of the Month contest, and we'll get that outlaw into the hands of one of our lucky listeners probably next October so that they can have it just in time for duck season. Y'all's website, once again, if anybody wants to check out the Quack Shack, just go to quackshacktexas.com. You guys are also on Facebook and Twitter.
Yep, we're on Facebook and Twitter as well. Google searches, all of that will pull up. We've been astounded by the amount of fans and viewers and people who have been sending us messages. It's amazing the way things change once you get on television and people start seeing you that way. But we're definitely here for the Texas waterfowler.
Very cool. Very cool. We certainly appreciate your time this morning, and we wish you luck for, I guess, the last week of the season, man. The marathon is almost over.
It's always bittersweet when the season ends. Yeah, I know my wife is very happy when the season ends. And there's a part of me that's kind of happy because, you know, you get worn down after a while. And it's just all those early mornings and cold weather or hot weather. You know, it's freezing cold one day, it's burning up the next day. But it's a lot of time and effort, but it's worth it. You know, you only get one spin on this earth, so you might as well make the most of it.
Well said, brother. Well, hey, thanks again for your time this morning.
Thanks a lot, and happy hunting, guys.
So there he goes, the Quack Shack's Scott Keith. Pretty cool stuff there. A duck call made by a Texas waterfowler for the Texas waterfowler. Man, look at the time. We've got to get out of here, unfortunately. Thanks to, of course, Scott, as well as our other guest today, Alan Kane, our Texas Parks and Wildlife Whitetail Program Leader. Next week, we've got another great show lined up for you, including State Representative Steve Toth, who recently drafted the legislation that would make enforcing new federal gun laws a felony in Texas. So pretty cool stuff there as the gun debate heats up. We'll get into that right here on our show. Also, we'll have bass fishing icon Mike Iaconelli, a former Bassmaster Classic champion, on the broadcast as well. And for the first time ever, we'll be joined by a Super Bowl champion when South Lake, Texas's own Garrett Hartley of the New Orleans Saints joins the program. He's a big-time bow hunter, and we'll talk some archery with him as well. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making this show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show. Until next time, I'm Cable Smith saying, y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
Well, I was moving down the road in my V8 Ford. I had a shine on my boots. I had my sideburns low with my New York brim and my gold tooth display. Nobody give me trouble, cause they know I got it made. I'm bad, I'm nationwide.
Concan's River Rim Resort is the gem of the real Texas Hill Country. Located along the pristine Frio River, outdoor enthusiasts enjoy birdwatching, bat flights, and of course, tubing or kayaking to Frio's crystal clear waters. Situated near Garner State Park in northern Uvalde County, River Rim is in the middle of a sportsman's paradise with ranches full of exotics, whitetail, and dove hunting opportunities. River Rim Resort offers cabins and RV sites, as well as a great venue for weddings and corporate retreats. Visit RiverRimResort.com today. That's RiverRimResort.com. Do you have a hog problem at your ranch or deer lease? We have the solution, the System Hog Trap, Comes in two sizes, 17-foot and 30-foot diameter traps. After you trap the hogs, take the top section off the trap and use it for another feeder site to keep the hogs away from the feeder. The system is both a trap and a deer food plot fence. That way you don't waste your money on just a hog trap. Call 940-391-3669 or visit www.goinfencing.com. That's goinfencing.com.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Spagnuolo from TexasMotorCars.com. I'm here today to tell you about the best place in Texas to shop for your next vehicle. TexasMotorCars.com is a family-owned and operated business located in Addison, Texas. We have a huge inventory of pre-owned vehicles and specialize in trucks and SUVs. Please visit TexasMotorCars.com today. Come see me, Brian Spagnuolo. Our phone number is 972-481-1660.
2011 Z521 Ranger boat with a 250 Pro XS Mercury motor. Falcon rods, lounge electronics, and Lake Fork trophy lures are just a few of the perks you'll enjoy when fishing with Lake Fork fishing guide Heath Hardwick. Customer service is Heath's primary goal. Well, that and putting you on the fish of a lifetime at the legendary Lake Fork, Heath has built his business on integrity. His passion is bass fishing, and he loves sharing a lifetime of knowledge with all of his customers. So call Heath Hardwick at 903-440-2358 or visit him at heathhardwick.com. That's Heath Hardwick.
The new Bobcat utility vehicle is here at Bobcat of Dallas and Fort Worth, and it's hungry. Get ready to work like an animal and love it. Powerful, ultra comfortable, and sure-footed, this lineup of vehicles delivers legendary Bobcat performance, so you can sink your teeth into a wide range of jobs. With twice the horsepower, 1,850 pounds of payload capacity, and four-wheel independent suspension, you will love it. Stop in at Bobcat of Dallas and Fort Worth to see for yourself.